Anyway, so good to see you guys. My name is Crystal, and I'm on staff here with NLCF. I've been here in Blacksburg for, I don't really want to tell you guys, but it's okay. It's not a big deal how old I am. For 10 years, 10 and a half, and I've been on staff. Yeah, living in the burg. I've been on staff with NLCF since 2008, and I'm a little sick, so I don't normally sound like this. I hope that over these next couple of minutes, you guys will bear with me in that, especially as the quality of my voice begins to decline. Just look past it, because it's really not a big deal. The bigger deal is actually the text that we're studying today and what it has to say to us. So that's a little bit about me, and I'm just really glad to be here with you guys this morning. I tend to spend more time in the 707 service because my husband and I, we oversee that time. So it's just refreshing to be here with you guys and to learn together and to just hang out and worship and to know God more this morning. So last week, if you were here and if you weren't, I'm going to do my best to catch you up a little bit. Last week, Steve was talking, and we're in the book of James. Hope everyone knows that. We're studying the book of James right now. And Steve had mentioned that the book of James kind of comes across as this spiritual 2x4 that just whacks you upside the head. And the reason why I feel like James can tend to feel that way is because it's just straightforward. I mean, yeah, at times, you know, it might feel like it moves from one thing to the next, and then as we keep reading the book, it goes back to something that we talked about a couple chapters ago. But, you know, as we talked about at the start, that wisdom literature tends to do that. It tends to move from one thing to the next and re-hit the things that it's already talked about. So it can feel like that. But one thing is for certain when it comes to the book of James. James says what he says, and there's little in the guesswork. I mean, isn't that nice? Yeah, straightforward. Because one of the things that I hear from a lot of folks is why they don't read scripture is because it's hard to understand. I mean, I agree with that. I think sometimes it can be really difficult to know what the scriptures are actually trying to say, who they're being written to, why, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, at times, I don't know if you guys have read through the Gospels, but at times even Jesus' disciples, the very guys who were spending every single day with this teacher, had these side conversations with each other like, what was he talking about? What was he trying to say right there? And even would approach Jesus and be like, so, what were you saying? Because totally just went over my head. So it makes sense that there are times that we don't understand right off the bat what the scriptures are saying. And that's why I feel like it's so necessary and important that we're actually engaging the scriptures and reading them regularly. Because the more that we do that, the more that we just spend time sitting in the scripture, the more that it becomes just revealed to us, the more that God begins to speak in that, the more that we are able to hear him, and the more that we understand what it's actually trying to say. And I think that anybody who has made that a discipline or even spent any time doing that would probably agree with me. The more time you spend reading scripture, the more it makes sense, right? I'm seeing some head nods. Perfect. So while we need to do the work of reading and the work of interpretation, while it's important that we spend time talking about it with other people, the nice part here in James is that it's simple. Thank goodness. But the difficulty that we have with this book is that it packs quite a punch. That spiritual 2x4, it just hits us. So I'm going to invite Anna up. She's going to actually help us this morning to cover, to remind us where we've been and where we're going to be today. So if you want to get out your Bibles, your apps, whatever it is, we're going to start in James chapter 1, verse 19, and go through to 13. So.
All right, so I'm going to start with James 1, 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself righteous or religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And now for chapter 2, which we'll be talking about today. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes into the meeting. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers. Has not God chosen you, those who are poor in the eyes of the world, to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who is not merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I like how when she read, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," she becomes so like mean almost. And if you guys know Anna, she's not really a mean person. So it's just funny that she gets a little cranky like that. Thank you for reading it. I really appreciate it. All right, let's pray before we dive in any further. God, we thank you for today and this morning. God, thank you that you are present. Holy Spirit, that you're moving. God, that you are at work. And that you use the power of your word to speak to the parts that are most intimate to us, God, that transform us and change us. And I pray that's what we would show up for this morning. God, to sit before you, to acknowledge who you are, to proclaim your word, God, to know you and to be transformed by your love, by the sacrifice that you did for us. I ask that you would speak this morning and use this time whatever words I have to say. God, thank you that we are gathered in your name. Amen. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Simple as that. Don't show favoritism. I imagine that we as intelligent people, many of us college students in here, that we understand what that means, to not show favoritism, and even what that's supposed to look like. You know, it's not supposed to be the putting of one above another. And yet, for James to address this, it seems to hit on something that we do at times. Because he's already addressed the issue of the rich and the poor being equalized in chapter 1. Jim had talked about that 2 weeks ago. And James clearly goes into the issue of favoritism even more in the next little bit. But before we really dive into the fact that James is talking about favoritism here, we need to make sure that we're starting in the same place that James is writing from. So let's start at the beginning of chapter 2. James writes, "My brothers, as believers in our Lord, our glorious Lord Jesus Christ." James is talking about our identity here. I don't know if you guys missed that, but that's what he's talking about. I'm going to set this over here. Don't let me forget. James is talking about our identity, and it's important that we grasp this because this is really the lens that James speaks into for the rest of this passage. It's one of those things that he assumes as he's writing this letter to each person who's reading it, like we're doing. You know, when we first started walking through James, Jim had talked about all these assumptions that James had already, did I call you James? Jim. James works too. Jim, James, I don't know, Jethro. It might get thrown in there as well. Maybe not that. Okay, sorry, I'll do my best. But he had talked about all these things that James had assumed as he was writing this letter. And James assumes that we have fully taken on our identity of family and relationship with God and the relationship with his people, the church. He assumes not only that we call and present ourselves in that way, but also that this new identity is working itself through our character in the way that we speak and the way that we act toward one another, and especially in the way that we view others, hence the issue of favoritism. As brothers and sisters in this thing called the church, reread this letter, scriptures, because we are in relationship with Christ. And through that relationship, we have a Father who gives us our identity. Not because we've earned it, but because God loves us and he calls us his kid. 1 John 3, John writes, "How great is the love that the Lord has lavished on us." I love that word, lavished, just poured over us. "How great is the love that the Lord has lavished on us that we should be called children of God," because that's what we are. And because this is our identity, believers in the glory of who Jesus is, and we are given our identity as a free gift, not having been earned. It's a free gift, guys. It has nothing to do with anything that we've done. And so there's no credit that we can take for it. Because our identity is a free gift, by nothing that we have done, we have no reason to place value on one person over another. This understanding of our identity is what James is writing under. So it's crucial that we get this, because if we don't get this now at the very beginning, we're going to miss everything that James is trying to say throughout the rest of what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to miss the weight of his words, and we're going to misunderstand where he's coming from in the first place. You know, we sang a little bit ago, "I give my life to follow everything I believe in. I surrender." That's that piece of identity there. So I just want to make sure that we're on the same page, that we're all starting out, that when we read his words as believers, we are saying that we are no longer living for ourselves, but we have exchanged our identities for who Christ is transforming us to be. We're all starting there, okay? If we're not, let's talk about it. But just to keep moving, we're going to go under that assumption like James did. All right. He goes on to say, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So here it is, favoritism laid out in the very plainest of scenarios. And we are seeing this picture of elevating the rich and assuming that the poor person belongs at our feet. And it's going to start getting real. But I think a tendency that we could have in reading the scripture is we automatically just start writing James off and saying, I'm not a judge who looks at people with evil thoughts. This doesn't even apply to me. Okay, before we start just checking that box off and moving on, let's read what he has to say. He says, listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? And I think we need to stop and take a moment here, because we all do this. Maybe we can automatically connect with, you know, who we'd give our seat up to or who we'd kind of allow to go to the front of the line. But if not, if that's not a common occurrence in your life, let's consider a different scenario. Think about somebody that you admire, somebody that just kind of runs through your thoughts. Maybe you're even a little jealous of them. As a girl, I'm going to speak this way because last week Steve talked about wrestling, and I was like, I'm not a wrestler. But maybe the person that you're thinking of, ladies, is the popular girl who can always put together the best outfit. I'm going to let you know it's Pinterest that's actually putting her wardrobe together for her. But maybe it's the smart girl, okay? Or maybe it's the girl who is effortlessly cool. I get intimidated. Confession. I kind of get intimidated by the people who hang out at Bolo's because they just seem so cool. And just like, they're just mysterious. They never meet a stranger. And I'm like, here are my sweatpants and my sweatshirt. And I look like a college student.